Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us in studio today is award-winning South African actress and scriptwriter Miss Moshidi Moshekwa, who has acted in local television series like Hijack Stories, Josie H, Zero Tolerance, The Lab, Rhythm City, as well as international productions in the Netherlands with Stellenbosch, in Germany with Fleisch, in Botswana with the number one ladies detective agency, I must add a personal favorite, and in America with ER and Black Sails. Moshidi's acting career was rooted in her arts education. She won a scholarship to the Johannesburg Arts Ballet and Drama School, now known as the National School of Arts. She received her Bachelor of Arts degree in English and History and her Honours in African Literature from the University of the Witwatersrand. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I didn't know I'd done so much. I was like, is that me?
Well, we'd like to hear more about your developments and elements from your career today. And what I didn't add was specifically in terms of the awards that you hold. So a SAFTA Best Actress in Drama, SAFTA Best Actress in a Soapy Award, Best Actress in a Feature Film. And with all of those components, you've become a household name across not just South Africa, but beyond our borders into different continents. Can you please take us back to some of those moments when all the hard work that you've invested into your career has finally paid off?
Well, it's always difficult to say, has it paid off, you know, has it paid off yet? I think that's a lifelong question, you know, because I think we will always strive for more, isn't it? Because unless you never say I've arrived, you always feel like you're just beginning, because every project demands new things, new thoughts, new ways of being, you know, new approaches to even your own work, even your own growth as well plays, I think, a huge role. I started this career when I was 17 and I'm now 39. So I think over the years you change, you develop, you become someone else. You become more of the woman you're supposed to become, I hope. So I think that influences you greatly in the work that you do. I think earlier on in my career I was just grateful to work, you know, to be asked to audition for a part and then to get it, and then to actually see that I could make this a career, because my parents were very reluctant for me to go into this profession. They were very concerned that, why don't you do something academic, something normal, something, a 9-to-5 job, you know. When I was growing up, I think most people were either teachers or doctors or nurses, you know. The idea of going into the arts sounded like something strange, something, how are you going to make a living, you know?
And what attracted you to the arts?
It's not so much what attracted me to the arts. I think I found a voice. I grew up as an overweight kid. And if you're an overweight kid, it's very difficult because you can't do athletics. And it's a huge thing. Well, in South Africa back then, it was a huge thing to be able to do athletics. I couldn't do athletics. I wasn't very good at maths or science. So you immediately felt like you didn't have a chance in life.
Did you almost feel invisible?
You know, it wasn't so much invisible. It was just like you lacked something that the others had. You know, you couldn't run. You weren't a good swimmer. You weren't good at netball. You know, it's almost like there was the basics you needed in order to make it, and I didn't have them. But when I discovered that I had the ability to stand in front of people and transform into someone else, I actually found something I enjoyed and loved and that I was good at. Also, I was a big reader. I've been, since I was a child, I loved books. I love books. I'm a Booker fan. So I think when you're a reader, you have such a big and strong imagination, you know. And also I think from when I was very little, I had a very strong personality. I think some people are born with a sense of who they are. I questioned things a lot. I spoke out, you know. I didn't understand why I had to learn cleaning and cooking and ironing when there were books to read. So my dear mother struggled to try and find the balance between my book loving self and just, you know, empowering me for life, actually. You know, we often see those things of cooking and cleaning as so domestic, but actually it's about looking after yourself.
It's part of life.
It's part of life.
But it's fantastic that you managed to find your calling at such a young age. I mean, many people, that's one of the biggest issues that they struggle with, is finding what it is that they want to
achieve. Look, I was also very encouraged by my mother. You know, she found books. I don't come from a wealthy background. So my mother used to get secondhand books. Or secondhand encyclopedias. She really, if she realized you loved something, she encouraged you.
So she fed it.
She fed it. You know what I mean? She fed the little monster in me, the book monster. And I think that gives you such, as a child, you need that. You know, you need it. It's like I had my own, that person who says, of course you can do it. You know, so even when I started doing writing, I mean, one of the things that happened in my life quite early on is that when I was 14, I wrote a little monologue. And I was at a school that was South African but also American. And then I won this competition to go to America with this little monologue I had written. And I remember writing it at night. I grew up in Alexander Township. There's no electricity. And I switched on the candle. And my mother said to me, why are you up at night? And I said, because I have the story that I want to write. So I wrote it. And then I won this competition. Now there was no money for me to go to America. So now we had to, you know, embark on this thing of getting sponsorship. And it was very, very difficult. How do you explain that a 14-year-old has won a competition to go compete in America in the 80s? And there is a man to this day that I have never met who paid for me to go to America when I was 14 years old. And it's that the kindness and generosity.
I'm getting goosebumps on that you had a benefactor which allowed
never
you
met.
For your voice to be heard.
Yeah. So at 14, 15, I went to America to compete in this international competition with children from all over the world. And they gave places, I think, to 8 winners. And I came 4th place. And I think that really gave me the affirmation that I have something. So when the National School of the Arts actually opened to black kids, I was one of the first black kids to go there. There was just 4 of us. There was me, there was a colored boy, and there was an Indian boy. There was another black girl who was there, but she left early. But the 3 of us remained and finished our matric there, our final high school year there. And recently, actually, I was on Facebook and I saw John Adams, the other colored boy who was there, and he's gone on to, and I said to him, do you realize that you and I went on to really do the things we love? He's a fine artist. And I said, who thought that the two people of color in the school of a sea of white people could go on to really live their dreams, you know?
And having that strong grounding in the foundation of your education to move ahead.
Yep.
And whilst we're on the sort of the formative
years.
Period, yes, the years of your life, in your debut film, you played the role of Zinzi Mandela alongside Oscar award-winning actor Sidney Poitier in the 1997 feature film Mandela and de Klerk. Mm. What was it like to react such an important part of South African history and also so shortly after the birth of our democracy?
You know what, I think, again, it's so incredible because when you're young, you don't have the weight of history. You come in just passionate, just wanting to tell the story, wanting to be really good at it, and also the fact that you're working on this international production, it's the first time you're doing a film. It's like all these things. It's the first time I actually flew to Cape Town because I'd never been to Cape Town. I was staying at this hotel, the Vineyard. So everything was new. You know, it was kind of like, oh my God, this is how the other half live, you know. But I think at the back of that, I'm very ambitious. You know, my work is very important to me. It's very important that when I walk away from a project that I feel that I've done well with it, you know. So I think at that time, for me, the most important thing was just to give a certain authenticity to the story, a certain truth.
But there's also the weight of responsibility on playing someone who, A, is still alive, but B, is such an important part of our history.
And I think that's when the youth thing actually saves you, because you don't have the... Right now, if I played somebody who's lived, I would be a little bit more aware of that.
Do you think a little bit more intimidated as well?
Exactly. You know what I mean? I'd be thinking a lot more. But I think there is a wonderful thing about acting, because it does allow you to go, I am merely a vessel. I am in acting. The truth always remains with the human being who lived the story. You only hope to just merely show, maybe in some light, the person they were, or what the script says they are, you know. And there are limitations, remember, you are still working with a script, you know. You don't have the luxury of going to meet the person, unless it's a different kind of production, you know.
You mentioned the control in terms of the script element.
Yes.
And I understand that you have expanded your industry talents to study script editing.
Yes.
Directing, which you did at the National Film and Television School in the UK. Mm. And you've recently co-produced the film Gnome, My Squally, which is currently in post-production and will be in local cinemas in 2016.
Yes.
How do you feel in terms of being behind the scenes, doing the scripting and the production and the directing element, versus being in front of the camera?
I will always love acting. It is my gift. I came with it. I probably will leave with it. But I think I've read a lot, I think a lot, and I think the more you work, the more you want more things. And I think I also wanted other kinds of representation, you know. I never felt satisfied every time I received a script. And I think when you're not satisfied with something in life, you've got to think, how can I improve it? You know, and I think that's what propelled me into script editing. And I love story. I just love story. You know, I grew up with my dad telling me stories about the rabbit and the giraffe. Both my parents have an incredible ability to tell stories, even stories just about what happened today. And I did grow up in a household where you sit at the dinner table and they ask, how was your day? And you have to tell your story. You know, you don't have to be a brilliant storyteller, but you have to tell a story.
And not to be monosyllabic, but yes. A storyteller carries it.
And I think as a child, that really does, it's a wonderful thing, actually, for parents to do, to say, how was your day? What happened in your day? You know, obviously in teenagehood, it's a bit more difficult, because some days you don't want to say what happened. You know,
it's getting that connection.
It's the connection.
And building relationships.
It's relationships, you know. So I think coming from that, it was very important for me to also grow, to expand. And this industry is unkind as you get older.
Well, look, I think it gives you more opportunities to be a role player in the different value components of the value chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to expand your repertoire of abilities.
I think it's very important for your own growth, for your own sense of self as well, you know. And also, I mean, we work in a profession that is dictated by beauty, by age, by a whole range of factors.
Particularly when it comes to women.
Particularly when it comes to women. So at some point in your life, you have to go, can I keep this up? You know what I mean? And there are women who've been able to do it. I mean, Meryl Streep is doing fantastically. You know what I mean? She's like on the rise. So we still look at youth as representation of femininity. But actually, the older you get, the more you have to say. The more of yourself comes out. The more of yourself you discover. You know, and it's a pity that we don't give older women or mature women those kind of roles that make us see women not in just that girly way, but in that much more fuller way, you know?
But do you see that as opportunity in terms of coming through from a script perspective on designing the story and looking at beyond the youth demographic into the mature segment? Yeah.
And also, I think even representations of men. You know, I think as much as we look at representations of women, it's very important to look at representations of men, you know, and realize that there's different types of men. That men are also evolutionary beings. they're also evolving, and what are the challenges they have today that perhaps my father didn't have, you know, my grandfather didn't have, and what are their concerns today that are not the same as before. We can't always give them these sort of cardbox images and that's enough, you know, but who are these human beings that we spend a lot of our lives with as well, you know?
Gender roles are certainly evolving, and I think that those are part of the dynamics of the 21st century, which gives us more opportunities and a better appreciation of self. Yeah.
And I think living on the continent is very important, because we're an old continent, but we are a young population in certain ways. You know, there are certain things that are new to us, democracy, the idea of freedom, certain things that we can access that probably 10 or 20 years ago were not accessible, you know, and how has that changed us, you know, and the stories that come out of that.
Well, I think it's an inspirational, a source of inspiration, and a pool that will continue for us to derive those stories from. Today we're talking to award-winning actress Moshidi Moshekwa.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31 meter band. Also available on DSTV channel 902. Today we're talking to award-winning South African actress, scriptwriter, producer, director, Miss Moshidi Moshekwa. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous segment, Moshidi shared with us some of her humble upbringing, looking at winning a significant competition at the tender age of 14, which took her to the United States of America, and henceforward discovering her voice, which led her onto her acting career. Now picking up on our conversation, this program is all about gender equality, which increasingly has become a global focus, and part of that is really about building female leadership capacity. It's important not only for our country, but also for the future well-being of women across the globe. As a role model to so many young women, how do you see female leadership, whether it is in the parliament capacity, government, musicians, actresses, business world?
You know, I think there's still a lot of work to do with women leadership, with even seeing more women in certain roles. You know, I think we're a very patriarchal culture, and I think we still view women in a particular way. I mean, this experience of producing really showed me how, you know, because our business has always been so male-dominated, and usually women are either actresses or makeup or wardrobe, when a woman steps into a producer position, there's a lot of resistance from the men.
So do you feel that we've had the stereotype image that has been thrust upon women, and that sort of boxed them into a node of being actress?
I mean, I think there are women producers, and you know, I've often wondered why they're so, for lack of a better word, hardcore. But you actually realize that they're up against so much that you're being judged in a very different. When a woman walks on set as a producer, it's almost like the men want to test, are you good enough? Do you know what you're doing? Whereas I think when a man comes on, there's a camaraderie, you know. So I think just from that, just from this experience, I learned as a woman that you also have to pick your battles if you're going to work in a male environment. And you need to bring in a bit of that tough love that mothers know about, you know, that ability to be kind, but also at the same time be firm. You know, to not get emotional about things, but to remain very, sometimes with the facts, you know, and to stay on your job, to not let things sway you, you know, because there's a lot that comes in to sway us. You know, we're tested. We're it's almost like, are you good enough? Are you strong enough to do this? Can you handle a man coming to tell you this and this and this. And when you don't know to find out, I think that's the most important thing in female leadership, is that to empower yourself in the job that you're doing, so that when you go and stand in front of a group of people who've probably been doing this longer than you have, you're able to speak with a certain level of authority, and also to still say, I don't know, please explain that to me, you know.
Do you feel that things may change the more women are present in the different roles within the cinematic environment, so that they provide more role modeling opportunities and mentorship?
I think so. I think that the more women are in leadership, the more there's a certain kind of sensitivity that will also come into the work we are doing. And I think that there's definitely laws that we need in this business that we don't have at the moment. Women are required to do so much more work, I think, in the workspace of working with men than men have to do with us, you know. And it means that as a woman, you're constantly aware of how do I project myself to working with these men.
And I think one of the points that you raised, which I find quite interesting, is about working within somebody else's limitations.
Yes.
So you're expanding your boundaries.
Yes.
In order to accommodate
yep.
their limitations.
Yep.
And taking into consideration, as you'd said, within the acting environment, that there is hardly any legislation protecting
no.
women. On the broader scale, though, women's rights have certainly increased over the years. What areas do you think still needs attention with respect to women?
Do you know, I think, I often think this a lot about this, and I think fundamentally we have lost something in our culture that respects the feminine. You know, it seems that we have written out the feminine as much as we have women's rights and women's legislation. But if you look at how every year the stats come out on abuse, on rape, on, you know, women being killed by their partner, you realize there's something in this society that's traumatized around women, you know, or it's playing out on the female, you know. It's almost like a destruction of the female, you know, in this time where we're supposed to rise. There seems to be a real, like a zeitgeist that's also taking us down, that's destroying us. So I think there's still a lot to be done, even at just grassroots level, even in the way that we raise our children. And I'm talking a male and female, because if you're raising a male child, but you don't teach that male child to respect the feminine, it is going to be a problem in the future. And even if we do all these wonderful things with girls, one day they're going to have to partner with these men that haven't been brought into the same evolutionary space.
You're right. There has to be the correct socialization that happens at the onset.
Yep.
So people grow up with that mutual respect for each other and don't deny them their opportunities or their capabilities. Clearly, in the elements that you've spoken about, that you personally experienced gender discrimination and challenges, can you tell us about some of those events and how you overcame them in your career?
Oh, how did I overcome them? I think, you know, it's one of the hardest things to almost feel like you're a second-class citizen. And I think once you go, okay, so this is the situation I'm in. I'm working with this human being. There is no ways to get around this. The script requires me to be intimate with this person or whatever it is. You know, I think my biggest strength has always been my mother. My mother was a school principal in the 80s in Alexander Township when there weren't a lot of women principals. So she really was faced with sort of this male,
yes,
patriarchal, traditional thought pattern. And I think one of the things she's always told me is that you've got to stay focused on what it is you came to do. You know, it's very important that you don't lose your sense of self, but at the same time to also be able to say no. It's very important for women to say no, that's enough now, you know, even if it means you might have to deal with this person being moody, because there is generally, when men mistreat women, it is something they're used to.
It's almost an entitlement.
It's an entitlement, it's a habit, and you have to become to guard yourself. when you work with a person who doesn't have those kind of that respect for women. You have to, as a woman. And it sounds terrible because somebody say, but why should I? And I always say, I know that I'm not going to change society today, but it's very important for that man to understand in the time he's working with me, the kind of woman he's working with. So I think it's very important when you take on a job to immediately establish the kind of person you are, the kind of spatial relationships you want to have with people, and the kind of way that you want to relate to them.
I find what you're saying very interesting, that I don't think it's just applicable within the acting environment, yeah. But I think it is a lesson which goes across to any career and domain on establishing your own personal boundaries.
Yep.
Being upfront about who you are, what you're going to accept, what you're not going to tolerate.
Yep. I worked on a project recently, and my first day on set, it was like 10 men sitting there. And I really felt like, okay, here we go. Put on your gumboots, girl, and your helmet, because this is going to be a long day. But, you know, I have little things that I do. For example, I always bring a book on set. It just helps me to disconnect a little bit, to be within myself. And I just remember walking on that set, and the men were, it felt like I was in a bar, you know what I mean, with a bunch of men talking just rubbish. And I remember thinking, you can either react to this or you can just ignore it. And I thought, we are tested. We are tested. It's also about the study of human beings. Really, half the time.
And that is a lifelong,
yes,
learning that continues.
Yep.
You've spoken a bit about your personal reactions and how you have handled yourself in different situations. What advice would you give to girls who want to follow in your footsteps and pursue a career in acting?
One of the first things I'm going to say is that this is the hardest career you can go into as a woman, because it will challenge everything you think of yourself. Because every time you go to an audition, there will be a girl more beautiful than you, more talented than you. But you need to know why you want to do this profession. You need to have your core reason that will sustain you even through the hard times, because there will be hard times. There'll be times you don't get work. And not because you're not good, because you just don't have the look they're looking for. And that is going to happen throughout your entire career. I think it's important to be educated. To have something else that you can do. When I meet young actresses and they say, this is the only thing I can do, I want to say, no, my dear, that is not the only thing you can do. You're much more than an actress. You're a human being with so many other talents. You've just discovered one of them. I think it's very important to keep looking for the other things that interest you in life and develop those. And I think it's very important to constantly seek, who am I? To never stop asking that question, and what is it that I want? And to not compromise on the person you want to be, but to have the sensibility and the wisdom to know when you need to bend. It's a terrible thing to say, but you do need that flexibility, you know, to say, do I need to be like rock right now, or to be like water? And there are times when you have to be like water, literally, and swim between the rocks and let things be as they are. But you also know when you need to say that's not right for me. One of the hardest challenges as an actress that will come is that sometimes you'll be offered really great money but a terrible role,
which will plague you for the rest of your career.
Yes. And you will have to make that decision of what matters to you the most. And at different times in your life, different things will matter. You know, there'll be times when you really do need to pay your rent, but there'll be times when you do need to honor your spirit and the woman you are.
It's a very delicate balance.
It's a very delicate one. I haven't achieved it. I'm a work in progress.
Thank you very much for sharing your personal perspectives and also offering words of advice for anyone that is planning on pursuing a career in acting, giving the real truths.
I hope so. And love it. Enjoy it. That's also important.
Today, we're talking to award-winning South African actress, scriptwriter, producer, director, Miss Moshidi Moshekwa.
Hi,
Hi, this is Lyra, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 902. Today we're talking to award-winning South African actress, scriptwriter, producer and director Miss Mashidi Moshekwa. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Going back a little bit in time, you did your Bachelor of Arts degree in English and History and your Honours in African Literature, and you've continued to educate yourself within your trade. And as such, you know that education is a vital tool to empower individuals and societies. Can you expand a little on achieving your academic qualification, which I'm sure your mum contributed to being a principal, but especially to our young girls who may be at a crossroads in their life and not certain about the role of an academic degree in their future?
You know, it's so easy to say to somebody, if you've got talent, you learn on the job. But what we don't tell people is that you will get older. You will change. You will want other things in your life. You'll want stability. You'll want sanity. You'll want to wake up and just know what is going on in your life. You know, you'll want to get married. You want to settle down. All sorts of things will come along your way. And that's when I think an education will kick in. But even before then, you will have to read a contract. You will have to know what you're committing to on paper. And if you cannot read a contract properly, you are basically entrusting your life in other people's hands. You'll have to make decisions about what it is you really want to do. We are in an environment where there are so many people telling you who you should be, how you should be. We have social media, which plays a huge part in what we do, more and more. But you're not going to be able to sift through the real things and the unnecessary if you don't have that cultivated sense of questioning, which is what education gives you, critically looking at what has been presented to you, and coming to a conclusion that comes from your own truth.
Also to do with thinking,
yeah,
for thinking. Yourself
thinking.
And not being passive. Because yeah. As you mentioned, in terms of the influence and the effects of social media, we're bombarded with sources of information,
yeah.
But often it's at a very shallow, superficial level.
Very shallow, superficial level. And if you're going to grow in this business, you're going to constantly be doing self-work. I call it self-work. You know, you're going to have to be asking, what is it I want? Who do I want to be? And those things come with a cultivated sense of reading makes you spend time with yourself and the others. It creates that thinking being in you. You know, it's a muscle that you're basically exercising on a regular. It teaches you to have opinions. It teaches you to question. It's a career that needs a real rigorous sense of intellect, actually. We often underestimate that.
It's being dedicated to not just your craft, yep. But to taking responsibility for the world around you,
yep.
And to remain relevant in an environment that is constantly changing, and if anything, I think, is changing at an accelerated rate.
Yep.
Mashidi, one of the questions I ask all my guests on this program who've made significant achievements in their respective fields is about the factors which they consider contributed to their success. Some have spoken about hard work, others have talked about perseverance, the role of their mothers in their lives. Mm. Some have spoken about fear as being a motivator. In your opinion, what have been your key drivers?
I think respect. It's so underestimated, but it's so essential.
respect for the self, respect in general.
Respect for the self, respect for the work, honoring the work. Never think you've arrived and don't believe the hype. Even when everybody is saying you're the greatest, you still have work to do. You know, always come into space with humility and a humbleness, and always give thanks for the work, because the work will come and the work will dry up, and you don't know what decides that, you know. And when you're working, to really work from a place of respect, again, respect for the craft, you know. As I get older, there's certain things that I absolutely abhor, to put it lightly. You know, an actor comes on set and they don't know their lines, or they, as we are preparing for a take and, you know, the director is saying roll camera, and you can hear this person just having a conversation about other things, I'm just like, you've got to bring your mind here. This is a job. So I think respect is a very big thing for me. And I think also just having a support. You've got to have a very strong support. I've always had my mother's support. She's a really big influence in my life. Because never mind getting the work, it's also keeping the work, building that name for yourself, making those life decisions. You've got to have someone that grounds you, that helps you see yourself clearly. And I think making time with yourself, getting out of the maddening crowd into the silence. I think silence is a very important thing that you require as someone to be in this profession. To be an artist, you need silence, to go to yourself and hear yourself. You know, I was doing a yoga this morning, and the woman I do that I listen to on YouTube, Leslie Fightmaster, she gave a really wonderful quote this morning about Pinocchio, and she said Pinocchio had Jiminy Cricket on his shoulder. Remember your Jiminy Cricket.
So having your conscience.
Yes.
Resting, you know, there.
And remember that the voices in your head sometimes are just bullies. But Jiminy will never bully you, because Jiminy is your true self. So I think finding your Jiminy Cricket and being able to hear your Jiminy Cricket is very important.
You mentioned your mom, and you've mentioned her a couple of times during the show today. Would you say that she's been a big influence on you?
Huge. She's a force of nature, nature in a force. I have a lot of respect for my mother. I think my mother grew up in a much more difficult era than I did, and made life choices that, you know, she wanted to be educated when it wasn't that priority for women to be educated. She went on to become a school principal in a predominantly male environment. And one of the things that I've always loved about her is that in the last 2 years, my mother decided to retire because she wanted to enjoy her life. And I've always said to her, that is a great gift that you've given us, to say, to work, and then to get to a place in your life where you go, I now want to enjoy my life and not be sort of having to wake up to something or someone and report to someone, but to really enjoy who I've become and the woman I've become. And I think she's always encouraged us. You know, if you have an interest in anything, my mother will tell you, go for it. You know, she's the first person I've ever performed in front of. When I was a little girl and I would be preparing to go to an audition, I would go to my mother's school and I would stand in her office while she's working, and I'd do whatever the piece is. And then she'd say to me, go, you're ready. And one of the best advices she ever gave me is that it's not always about getting the part. It's about making sure that they remember you. It's to leave your footprint when you leave the room. And I cannot tell you how important that is. I actually, this happened recently with Black Sails. That's what happened. I went to audition. I did a great audition. They phoned me to say I didn't get the part. And then they phoned 2 days later to say, we're actually going to write a part for you.
So that's the impact that you made in terms of being, having your presence in the room and making sure that they were aware of you.
Yeah. So the footsteps, as she calls them, the footspure, as she says it in Afrikaans, is very important. And I think when you asked me earlier on, how difficult must it be not to get a role? the most important thing is not the role, is that they see your talent, is that in that 5 minutes you've just shown somebody, this is my talent and this is my craft, and I have come here today to showcase that.
That's a very good perspective to have. Unfortunately, we're coming to an end of the show today. Can you please share with us a few words of inspiration that you'd like to pass on to girls and young women in Africa that are listening to us today?
I would say to young women today in Africa, love yourself. Remember, you're the most important person in this equation. Always make sure that you're serving you first and foremost before you serve others, because happiness will not come from having served others, but it will come from having served yourself as well. And in whatever career you choose, just remember that you are in service of the most important person on this journey in this life, and that's you, your growth, what you came to do, your life purpose. So love yourself, look after yourself, and don't compromise yourself.
Thanks for sharing those wonderful words of wisdom.
Thank you for having me here today.
It's been great, and we look forward to hearing in the future about your pending developments.
Thank you.
We invite you back. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, and we have been talking to award-winning South African actress and scriptwriter, Miss Moshidi Moshekwa.